Well, happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Some of you mothers are pretty grand. Some of you mothers, I bet, are even great. But all you mothers are awesome. So what I thought we would do in the Word today, the adventure that we'll have in the Scriptures, is to look initially at how God is metaphorically portrayed as a mother, and then we'll go to one of our theme texts, John 12. Then we'll see if we can't connect these two thoughts and apply them to our lives. How does that sound? All right. So, God is portrayed metaphorically in a number of ways, just so that we can somehow glimpse God in the ways that are finitely possible, because we are finite beings. And a few metaphors that we find in the Scriptures is God as Father, which is very well known, but also God as Mother. So check out some of these verses from the book of Isaiah. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. In Jerusalem, you will be comforted. Let's just savor these texts as we read through them. You know, children will run past their dad to get to their mom for the comfort that they need. 'Cause only the comfort that a mother can give is that kind of quality and tenderness that the child needs. So it is with God. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been born by me from your birth, carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he. Okay, so there's the mixing of metaphors. He, womb, birthing. I have made and I will bear. I will carry and will save. There's kind of a double meaning there, right? You bear a child, but then you also bear with them as they're growing and maturing and learning. Can a woman forget her nursing child? Probably unthinkable. Impossible. But even more impossible is God forgetting God's children. Can a woman forget her nursing child or show no compassion for the child of her womb, even if this is possible? It's impossible with God. Even if they forget, I will not forget you. So these are just some of the metaphors of God as a human. There's also metaphors of God as a mother who is an animal mother. So as an eagle stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, as it spreads its wings, takes them up, and bears them aloft on its pinions, the Lord alone guided him. This is the nation of Israel. So an eagle. So that's more of the tenderness and training of a mother. But then you don't want to come across, you know, cross a mother. Because God is like a she-bear. The prophet Hosea says, from the word of the Lord, I will fall upon them like a bear robbed of her cubs, and will tear open the covering of their heart. There I will devour them like a lion, as a wild animal would mangle them. All right. Really lean into all force of that metaphor. but the protectiveness that mothers have. Even towards their loving husbands, I will say one time or two. The protectiveness, wow. It's a force of nature. And then even Jesus, finally, identifies as a mother. Jesus, as he's coming to Jerusalem, knowing what's before him, says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who were sent to you, how often I wanted to gather your people together, just as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you didn't want that." So the protectiveness, the security, the love, these are some of the things that we see described of God in the scriptures through this metaphor. If this makes you uncomfortable, God is mother, remember it's just a metaphor. If this is giving you some vital encouragement, well, good, because it's a powerful metaphor. Okay, let's jump over to John 10 now, and here's the text that I want to look at together briefly. John 12, 20 through 26. Now those, among those, so here Jesus, again, has just come into Jerusalem, knowing what's before him. Among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, one of Jesus' disciples, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." So Jesus is getting some celebrity. We want to see this Jesus. Philip went and told Andrew, their brothers, then together they go and tell Jesus. Like, are you up for seeing some foreigners? You've got a fanfare. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor." I just want to read this. Yet another metaphor again. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain, but if it dies, it bears much fruit." This is an agricultural metaphor, and yet there's a way in which we can see even a mother, as in Mother Earth, bearing the fruit of the land, metaphor as well. Okay, so when Jesus talks about a grain of wheat, a grain or a kernel of wheat is a seed. And so just one seed from like a head of wheat that is planted into the ground, that is dies, gets buried under the ground, will regenerate, will grow, and bear much fruit. And Oklahoma State University has done some research, and there's about 50 kernels on average in a head of wheat. So Jesus is identifying as a grain of wheat, a seed of wheat, and just one, and he is going to go into the earth and die, and he is going to come back and bear much fruit. So one seed produces a stalk of 50 seed, 50 kernels, and then imagine, okay, and Jesus has more than 50 disciples, right? By the end of his life, the Last Supper, there's 120, so twice as many. And then imagine all of those kernels being the disciples, taking up their cross, following Jesus unto death, and then as seeds going into the ground, and then those 50, 120 seeds shooting up and bearing more full heads of grain. Well, that's like Pentecost and beyond. So here we have this beautiful agricultural metaphor that's about salvation, discipleship. But there's also, again, this sense in which it's like Mother Earth bearing fruit. So there's a little connection there. Okay, just a few verses later, when Jesus is still speaking with his disciples, we have this parallel text that helps interpret this agricultural metaphor. So next slide, please. Jesus says, "I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. This is the power of reading scripture in context. So Jesus is that grain of wheat. Just as Jesus falls into the earth and dies, so he will be lifted up from the earth. So death and resurrection, dies, death, and the bearing of much fruit, of course, is many people being drawn into the eternal loving arms of God unto salvation. And so the bearing of much fruit, just like we have in the rest of the Gospel of John, means not only the abundant life of the Christ follower, abundant life in Christ, but also the multiplication of disciples. Just as Jesus resurrects from the dead, so God brings new life or resurrection life to those who have died to sin and have been raised to new life in faith in the Son of God and Savior. All right, so what does this mean for our life? First, there is the invitation to experience exactly what Jesus has been saying. In another part of the New Testament, we have this description that's along the same lines. So in James 1, it reads, "In fulfillment of his own purpose, God gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Therefore, rid yourself of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls." So this really brings together the mother and birthing nature of God, and also the regeneration and fruit bearing of the disciple. God gave us birth by the word of truth. In this series, History, His Truth, His Story, it's interesting that the word of God is here called the word of truth. So that we might become the first fruits of his creatures, just like that grain of wheat that falls on the ground and produces much fruit. And unlike weeds that grow fast, those We are to rid ourselves of all that sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, but instead welcome with meekness the implanted word or impregnated word that has the power to save your souls. The implanted word of truth is like the seed that enters and grows and bears much fruit. So this is what God wants for us. But whatever God wants to do for us and to us, God also wants to do through us and to others. And so this is our challenge in 1 Corinthians 3. The Apostle Paul says, I planted, okay, so he plants the good news through the evangelism, through the preaching of the gospel of God. Apollos watered, so there's that good pastoral ministry and life together in the community of saints. But God gave the growth. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants, working together. You are God's field. The context here is squabbles and factions in the church. I follow this teacher, I follow that apostle, I follow this pastor, and Paul's trying to break it all down and saying, look, God's at work doing it all, and we have secondary roles, and to God be the glory for our secondary yet significant roles. So whether I water, you plant, or I plant and you water, it's all good. To God be the glory for the growth that each of us receive in the gospel of God. Now, Paul's talking to the church in Corinth, but again, this isn't, I want us to see this not as the receiving text. That's James. That's a text that we receive. We receive the birth by the word of truth. This is more focused outward, okay? So the community is God's field. And we are all planters and waterers, because what God wants to do to us, God wants to do through us for much fruit, for the multiplication of disciples. And if we can, and I say we as in like the big capital C church, the church universal, if we can get our hearts in alignment with this, then we will see much fruit. But when it's, you know, this following that denomination, this latest thing, and, you know, then that's only going to undermine our efforts. And then maybe we won't even be planting or watering at all. Nevertheless, God gives the growth. And we could wish our stories or the stories of others to be different. Like, wait, you got saved at that crazy place, or that, you know, like, let's make sure that, you know, we come back around. Well, that's the watering and the pastoring and the ministering to one another, the times of ministry and worship, like, that's all going to help in the discipleship and growth of disciples. But we can trust God for the growth, because God is God. God knows how to create and to birth and to nurture and care for the growing and sustaining of all of God's children. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word of truth, the gospel of God, the good news that you came to proclaim and to reveal, and to invite us into, and to unfold our lives into your story and your truth. And so we pray that that with meekness we would indeed welcome and grow in the word of truth that you have planted in our hearts by Christ shining into our hearts and awakening us to your love. We do see in the Spirit this community as your field. Even a field white for harvest, ready for harvest. And we pray that we, just as we raise our biological children, that we would be spiritual parents to orphaned children. That is to say, to people who do not yet know you, God, as their divine parent. As Jesus, as Savior, and Spirit as sanctifier and empower. And indeed, Holy Spirit, we can only plant and water, minister and care and serve by your empowerment. And so we thank you that you empower us and point us towards the mission, the continuing of creating disciples for Jesus, disciples of Jesus. And may we all grow in the truth of your word as we are faithful to your story, God, your kingdom that's advancing, and your new creation that has already dawned. May we be those first fruits of your new harvest, of your new new creation. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.